All right, let's pray together, and then we're going to jump right in. Our Father, thank you for the blessing of studying your word together each week. Father, I thank you for making us women. I thank you for our calling. I thank you for our uniqueness. And this morning, as we look at this virtuous woman, I pray that you would challenge us. Father, we welcome your word into our life. We know your word is the way to life. And so this morning, we want to be women who follow your word. We want to be women who model it, who teach it to our children, to other women. And so this morning, I thank you for this lesson. It's a needed lesson in this generation. And I pray that you will just give us ears to hear. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we're studying the virtuous, all about being virtuous. So this morning, the title of our chapter, by the way, this is, we've only got one more week in this book. And so the title of our chapter this morning is Domesticity. That's hard to say. It's just all about being a homemaker, really. Domestic things. And so we're going to inspect this morning God's model of the most excellent homemaker. We find her in Proverbs 31. Now, Proverbs talks about many kinds of women, and Proverbs doesn't pick on women. Proverbs also talks about many kind of men, too. But this morning, we're women. We're talking about women. And so Proverbs mentions and has a lot to say about the adulterous woman. She flatters with her lips. She forsakes her own husband. She breaks her own marriage covenant. It says her lips drip like honey as she seduces men. In another place, it speaks of a smooth-tongued adulteress who is out hunting for precious life. In other places, Proverbs talks about the noisy woman, the foolish woman, the rebellious woman, the quarrelsome woman. But when you come to the very last chapter of the book of Proverbs, there you find the virtuous woman. Now, this is the woman that we want to be like. Look at verse 10 on your handout. And I put your handout separate today so you can take notes and then you can look at the scripture with me as we go through this virtuous woman. Look at the verse 10 with me. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." And then for the next 20 verses that follow that verse, we're going to have a description of that virtuous woman. And we're going to see her in the context of her home. It's describing her home. Now look at Titus 2 on your handout. I want to just refer to that verse. It says, "Encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, to be pure," and then this phrase, "to be workers at home. Kind, subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored." Now back to Proverbs. This portion of scripture is written by mom. She has a son. Her son is going to be the king. He's young. And she's training her son, and she wants him to be very picky about the wife that he chooses. And so as we study this woman, this is not a certain woman, a particular woman. This is the ideal woman. This is a woman who is the picture of virtue. Now it's interesting, you're going to find as we study this, she doesn't say, "Now find somebody who is got great accomplishments, who is very successful." It's not about her money, it's all about her character. And starting in verse 10, what you have really in the Hebrew language is an acrostic. And this is how Hebrews would teach. they would teach something in an acrostic, and so every verse begins with another letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and that was a good way for them to memorize scripture. So this is something that is meant for memorization. It makes it very, very memorable. Look on your handout at Proverbs 19:14-15. I love these verses. It says that houses and wealth are the inheritance from fathers, but a wise, understanding, and sensible wife is a gift and a blessing from the Lord. Now, that's out of the Amplified Bible. I like that verse. The woman we're studying today, this woman is a gift straight from the hand of God. She is very valuable. She is as valuable as precious jewels. I've always loved studying the Proverbs 31 woman all through my Christian life. I love her attitude. I want to be just like her. I love her energy. I love her heart. She is the ultimate virtuous woman. Let's see her unfold briefly in the verses that follow. Go to verse 11. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. So let's just write down the first thing about her. She's one who can be trusted. So put that on your handout. You see, in marriage, trust is the thing that will hold relationships together. And this gal is trustworthy. Here you have a man who is trusting his wife. It's very practical because he is free to leave the home, to go to work, to give himself to his career as he's working to provide for the family. And as he goes, he has absolute confidence in her. She has integrity. She practices discernment. And he knows and trusts that all the things in her care, she's going to do all those things for his best interest. She's taking care of the home. She's taking care of the children. She's caring for all of their resources and their assets. Everything he has is safe with her. He's not suspicious. He's not worried because she's trustworthy. She has godly character. She's a good steward. She has appreciation for the resources of the family. And she's frugal. She's wise about what she does with the resources that are available to her. Her primary responsibility is to be sure that she is always increasing her husband's trust. And so it says he trusts her, and notice it says he has no lack of gain. That just simply means he's not going to lose what he's earned. He doesn't have to worry about what's going to happen while he's away. And because she is the ruler of the house, and she is in charge over all of those resources and all of those relationships, he has this trust in her. And she helps him to profit. She's very careful. I really like this girl. Don't you? Look at verse 12. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now write this on your handout. She is consumed with his best interest. Put that down. She's all about building him up. In the good times and in the bad times. In the times of plenty, in the times of want, in the times of sickness, in the times of health, all the days of her life. She's all about doing him good. She never wants to harm him. Her love is so deep. Her love has a purity about it. It has a power in it. It has a devotion that will never change. She wants him to be joyful. She wants him to be happy. She is never unkind. She's submissive to her husband in a very gracious manner. Now, if you jump down to verse 23, do that with me. You see there, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. I can just see him there. His wife has a wonderful reputation. And he is the envy of all of the rest of the men because of his godly wife. She's helping and advancing his respect with the leaders of the city because she's faithful to the duties of her home and she's faithful to the duties of loving her husband. And that frees him up to be all the man that he can be. So let's write it this way. He is married to a woman who raises his standing in the eyes of others. He's free from worry. He's free from fear to be all that he can be. She is devoted to him. But now we're going to turn in our verses, and let's write this down. We're going to see she's devoted to her home. So write that down. Now you know this. The woman is the heart of the home. A house is just a house until a woman moves in. And a woman has the power to take any house and turn it into magically a home with a heartbeat, because that's our domain. This is the sphere of the woman's duty, and it's her responsibility. Look at verse 13. She goes and looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. Now, she goes out and she gets raw materials, and this is how they had to do it back then. Thank goodness we don't have to do this, but she did. And we're going to see a little later, you know what she does with that flax and that wool is she makes thread out of it, and then she's going to weave it into cloth, and then she's going to sew the clothes for her family. Now, that's why she's going to stay up late into the night, girls. I'm just going to tell you. And what we're finding here, first and foremost, she gives herself to her home. She is a homemaker. The home is her focus. And she's full of energy when it comes to the things she needs to do in her home. So she's gone out and she's bought this wool that would make cloth for the winter. And she's bought this flax that would make linen, which is cloth for the summer. And she works with her hands, and it says she does it with delight. She loves her work. It's not drudgery to her. She joyfully is giving herself away for the needs of her family. Then look at verse 14. It doesn't stop there. It says, she is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. Now, what is pictured here is wonderful because every locality had a sort of staple foods available. Whatever they grew is what they ate. And if you wanted to enrich and bring variety into the diet of your family, well, you would have to go to another locality to get what they were growing somewhere else. And this gal, because of her love for her family, she's willing to be like a merchant ship that sails to some foreign land to bring back some kind of exotic food just for the enjoyment of her family. So she's finding joy, write it on your handout, in preparing creative meals for her family. Now, I was studying this and kind of making my handout, and while Bill was making our order from the Cracker Barrel for supper, I said, I am such a hypocrite. I need to be preparing food for us tonight, but we were doing Cracker Barrel pickup. I'm sorry. But she's thinking about her family. She doesn't just give them the same old, same old. She wants to make it creative. She goes to trouble to get something that would be a special delight for them. You go to verse 15 and listen to this. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. Now, in those days, the workday began at dawn. So when the light came up, people were working. And then when the sun went down, people went to bed. So her day was started earlier than ours and went. They went to bed probably earlier than we did. But they would have their breakfast. And if you're going to fix breakfast, you're going to have to get up before daylight to make breakfast. So put this on your handout. She gets up early before her family, doing what she needs to do to serve them. She doesn't have a refrigerator. She doesn't have all the many convenient things that are accessible to us. I mean, we can throw things together really fast. But then notice verse 16. This is so interesting. She considers a field. She buys it from her earning. She plants a vineyard. So let's write this down about her. She is a very enterprising woman. She's not boring at all. She's industrious. She's smart. And this is wonderful. She's assisting to the family. She's making money. And then look at verse 17. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Listen, she's physically healthy and she's physically strong. She's not afraid to work. And notice she's working for the good of others. And as she's out and she's busy and she's doing these things, she is getting strong physically herself. She's diligent. But what I want you to see is her strength is the result of her giving herself away for others, for her household, and for others we're going to see in a minute. And why does she do this? Why does she do this? Why does she work so hard? Well, look at verse 18 because that tells us why. Verse 18 says, she senses that her gain is good. Now, the bottom line here is not that she is seeking something for herself. She is doing it because it's good. Gina, somebody set the door for you. There you go. You know what her motivation is? It's just the goodness of it. Because you know what? It's good. It's good for you to provide for your family. It's good for you to clothe your family. It's good for you to feed them in this way. It's good to supplement the family income. It's good to have a husband who trusts in you. This is good, and she is a doer of good. It makes me think of our lesson we had a few weeks ago. She's clothing herself in good deeds and good works. She understands the joy of knowing that she's doing good. She's receiving the benefit that comes back from that. The love of her husband. The love of her children. She's so motivated by the sheer goodness of this that verse 18 says this. Her lamp does not go out at night. And so write this down. Her work continues into the night. This is a good woman. She's giving herself away for her husband, and she's doing it for her children, and she is so busy, she says, the kids are in bed, I'm going to work on weaving that cloth. I'm going to work on spinning. I'm going to do some more things into the night. Look at verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. You know what? She just doesn't do the bland colors for her girls and boys. She doesn't just do black or brown. No, no, no. It's scarlet. She's ready for the cold weather. She has an eye for beauty. And look how she dressed. Verse 22. She's so busy, you'd think she'd just look like a mess. But look at verse 22. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. She dressed in fine linen. It wasn't just the coarse kind of linen. No, no. It would be taking that flax and making a careful, tight spun flax, and that would make it silky. And she dressed in beautiful, silky linen, and it was purple in color. She's adorning her own beauty. This is an amazing woman. She's busy. She's working. She's getting up before daylight. She's staying up at night. She's working hard. All of this self-sacrifice, and all the while, she's very concerned about presenting herself in the beauty of adornment. She's managing it all. Now look at verse 24. Remember, this is the ideal. Verse 24 tells us this. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Oh, come on, this kid's killing it. Maybe that's what she's doing late at night, making the belts. But write this down. She's also generous. Write that down. Go back to verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor. She stretches out her hand to the needy. This tells us she is compassionate. Did you pick up on something there? It says she extends her hand. She personally gets involved. Maybe her hand has a garment in it. Maybe her hand has food in it. Maybe her hand has a blanket in it. She doesn't just ship things out or contribute money. She puts her hands personally out with it. She's hands-on. Look at verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. So let's write this down. Two words that describe her: strength, dignity. I mean, this woman is strong. She doesn't vacillate or compromise. She's consistent. She's not up one day, down one day, in one day, out one day. Sometimes doing what's right, sometimes doing what's wrong. She has strong spiritual character that's being described right here. She has dignity. That word refers to something which is elevated above the common. This is not a woman like every other woman. She has strength, nobility, dignity. She smiles at the future. Boy, is that a great statement. And what we're seeing here, live a godly life, and you will be able to smile at the future, and you won't be afraid. She's pure. She's faithful. She delights in giving away her life for those in her family. She smiles at the future because she knows that the return is going to be a good one on the investment that she is making. And then go to verse 26. She opens her mouth in wisdom. And what does she teach? Look what she teaches. And I think it's on your handout. She teaches the law of kindness. Now here's the father in the family. He's the one that is setting the principles and the business, and he's teaching all of those things. But the woman is the one in the family who is teaching the things of the heart, like kindness and graciousness and mercy and gentleness and compassion. And there's the balance. She teaches the things that manifest in character. And that quickly brings us to verses 27 and 28. Look at verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So let's write this down about her. She is not lazy. She's always busy. And verse 28, she's blessing others, but that blessedness is going to come back on her. Look at verse 28. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Girl, you are the greatest. You're better than any I've ever seen. And as her children grow and get older, they have their own children. They appreciate her even more. She is constantly before them. They never forget all the tender guidance, her wise counsel, her loving discipline, her holy example, her hard work, her unselfish giving, and they're living it out before the next generation. And finally, we come to the last verses. And these verses, they really should have come first. They give us the key to her life. They give us where the energy for this kind of life is coming from. Look at it with me. It says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. Now, charm, that word would mean her face. Charm can be deceitful. Beauty would be her form, can be vain. You know, your beauty, your figure, in the big scheme of things, they come down at the bottom. They really have no real value, but a woman, it says, who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Son, when you go look for a wife, you need to look for a wife who fears God. In other words, you need to look for somebody who is a true worshiper of the living God. This is speaking of her spiritual life. And the writer of Proverbs put it at the last, but really it should have come first. So write this on your handout. Undergirding everything is her love for God. That is the source. That is what is driving her virtue. It's the fact that she is truly a worshiper of God. Son, look for a woman who reverences God, who reverences His Word, who reverences His Son. And then out of her love for God and her reverence for God and her knowledge of His Word will come virtue. She will be trustworthy. She will be committed to your home. She will have a love for the needy, and she will be generous. She will be kind and wise as she teaches your children, and she will be fulfilled. She doesn't need praise, but that's exactly what she gets. Look at verse 31. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Now, I just have to tell you this morning, what I've just taught you is not popular in our day. This is not what the world is telling women. What does the modern woman look like? Well, she works, she builds her career, that's first. Then when she gets in the workplace, she is demands equal pay. She refuses to submit to her own husband. They're equal. They're 50-50. She demands quality with him and everything. She might have an affair or two. She might have a divorce or two. I'm speaking of the worldly woman. She exercises her independence. She relies on her own resources. She loves her children, but she doesn't want them to threaten her personal goals. Often she has her own bank account. She's all about getting a cleaning service to do her home. She eats out at least 50% of the time, with or without her family. She gives cold cereal for breakfast, quick frozen meal at night. She expects her husband to do his share of the housework. She's tan. She's aerobicized. She lives up to all the fashion trends. She allows her children to be brainwashed by a moral, materialistic society while she's out cultivating her own interest. She's usually opinionated. She demands to be heard, and it goes on and on. That kind of woman is praised by the world today. And what I just taught you is not popular teaching. You may have even bristled at it a little bit. Well, Teresa, ouch, this lesson stepped on my toes. I might need some correction in my life. I mean, does this really apply to women today? Does this scripture really apply to women today? Does it? I just have to tell you, ladies, the Word of God never changes. It never changes. And today we've had this taught to us. Today's a good day to say, you know, God, from this point on, that is my direction. That is where I want to go. This is what your Word says. This is what I want to walk in. Get that conviction. Model it to your children. Teach it to your children. Tell your sons, you marry a woman like this. And tell your daughters, you be like this. Because there's blessing in obeying God. God's word never changes. The woman I just described out of the world, she is so strung out. She is not happy, and she's not really fulfilled. But the woman we've looked at in Proverbs this morning, that's a godly woman. That is a woman to be praised. And aren't we glad God has given us? You see, at the core of being this kind of woman is the fact that God is in us. You see, I have the Holy Spirit. I've been saved. I've been born again. He's in me. He's given me this heart to want to be this woman. And then he's given me the power to obey. Will I be perfect? No. Just ask Bill. He'll tell you. But that's my heart to obey. Virtue is a costly thing. I like this woman. She's an others woman. She's thinking of others all the time. She's laying down her life for others. Let's pray. Let's go into our small groups. Let's talk about it. Be honest with each other. I know you might be struggling with this. And then I'll come back up in a few minutes and I'll close us in prayer.